So Christmas has gone and the new year is about to fall upon us, Anna. Are you looking forward to 2021?
I am. It's the year of the 40th, Anna.
Oh, yes.
I know, it's a big year for me.
It's the year that Anna becomes older and wiser.
A grown-up, allegedly.
We can only hope for both things to happen.
Yes.
So we hope that you've had a great Christmas, whatever that's looked like. Maybe it was a bit different to last year. But today, we need you to get your journal, get your pen. It's going to be another thinking type one. We've got a great guest who's going to support us and telling us a few things just to make us start our year on track in the right mindset. All we can say now is for the first or last time, whenever you're listening to this, of 2020...
Cue the ukuleles!
So look, we're just going to jump straight into this. If you're new to Stonewall Podcast, hi, by the way. Maybe you've never heard of us or listened to us before. I am Claire, I'm a member, and this is...
Anna, and I'm a consultant. I allegedly do this for a living.
She does, yeah, and she's quite good at it too. We met because Anna was my consultant. We then became friends. I think we're still friends.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And then 2 years ago, 2 years ago today, we started a podcast in my kitchen, which has now gone on to be listened by 1.5 million of you. It's been an incredible journey. So if you're new to this, welcome. You've got a whole 100+ episodes to listen to. But don't worry about the back catalogue at the moment. Let's look at today, where we are at today. If you are a new member of Simming World, welcome on board. If you're rejoining, draw a line under your past journeys. Let's start this new one because Lord knows me and Anna have joined and rejoined enough times to know, let the guilt go and move forwards.
Yep, and let the new beginning happen.
Yeah, so this is called Creating Habits That Stick. We didn't want to kind of call it around New Year's resolutions because it's sometimes a phrase that people can fall into and then we keep it up for a few days and then we kind of quit or we give up or we beat ourselves up because it's not happening as quick as we want. So instead, we've decided to bring in a guest who is brilliant, friend of the podcast. She's a behavioural psychologist. It's hard to say, it's hard to spell. Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, do you ever stumble over the word psychologist too?
No, I've been spelling it probably a lot longer than you. I've had a lot more practice.
So thanks for joining us. You're obviously connecting with us on Zoom, which is awesome. It feels like the whole world is kind of speaking to each other via these video conference calls. I mean, like, just kind of recap, like, how was 2020 for you? Because we obviously spoke to you a couple of times last year, but it's been many months.
You know what? I think, like everyone, it blindsided us all, didn't it? I don't think anyone saw it coming. And, you know, I think for me, you know, given the job that I do, I was very aware very early on that in order for us to kind of get through this, we needed to be speaking about what people were feeling. And I think that that feeling of uncertainty, and I think, you know, I think a lot of your listeners will kind of resonate with this because, you know, uncertainty is such a big part of kind of any behavioral change. And anyone that's gone on a weight loss journey, right? They're certain about where they want to get to, but they're so uncertain how to get there. And it was the same thing with COVID. We were certain about wanting to find the solution to get better. We had no idea what this meant. So I think for me, it was really kind of brought home sort of a lot of, you know, what those non-negotiables are for good mental health and trying to keep on going. And it was things like, you know, I always love listening to you too. You've got such a lovely connection. I think it's things like that, sort of like genuine connection, right? So even though we were socially distanced, I always felt, you know, that was more physical distance. You can actually still be socially close, emotionally close, but you had to invest in that. You had to invest in routine and kind of just ensuring that I got that right. I got that right for the people that I loved and the people that I worked with. And yeah, here we are almost at the end of 2020. Let's hope 21 brings better days.
I mean, it's we've got all our hopes kind of pinned on that, haven't we? I think it's kind of navigating through the emotion and everything that coronavirus has brought to us, isn't it? You know, the kind of mental anguish that the uncertainties brought, and also the fear of, you know, what's next year going to hold? It's quite a scary situation, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, I think what the other side of that, I think one of the other things that I think we need to hold on to is that we are probably a lot more resilient than we thought. literally the worst thing that could have happened globally did. This is a pandemic, you know, of the kind that we've not seen. And yet, you know, for the mass majority of us, for people that have even, you know, lost loved ones, lost health, we're still going on. I think that's what I love about my job. You know, I get to see the beauty of humanity and their resilience. And it's a privilege to see that. So I think, you know, one of the things we need to do, it's the end of the year now, is to take stock, as well as sort of taking stock of what went wrong, is to taking stock of, you know what, we're still here and we're doing okay. And the notion that better days will come, it is inevitable that they will. And it's just about, you know, it's that great quote, you know, when you're going through hell, just keep going. And, you know, we're keeping on going. And there's a lot to be said of that.
I mean, last week we actually did an episode which was called Drawing a Line Under 2020. And we asked our listeners the question, despite COVID-19, what great choices have I made? It was incredible to hear some of our listeners' experiences. I mean, you know, the things that when you really look at what you can control and what you can do, how empowering that is.
Completely, completely. And I think sort of health behaviors and making that change is an amazing place to start, right? It's one of those things. It is very much about, you know, where does my sense of volition lie? You know, and it's that idea that obviously none of us can have a say in what happens to us. We always have a say in how we react, right? So this notion of taking back control in 2021, you know, making things work for you, making decisions that you feel you have a sense of, you know, a say in, I think that's almost that self-perpetuating sort of positive thinking that we need to do and that we absolutely can. It's just about kind of making those few changes.
I think, you know, stepping into a new year for me has always been a really exciting prospect. I'm quite lucky. My birthday is the beginning of the year, so I hit the new year with a massive high. But I think the thing that I've always struggled with is how to hit the new year and make my habits last. Like, you know, you were saying at the beginning, Claire, like not making New Year's resolutions. Like, I want to hit 2021 and make sure that what I kind of start with, I end with. So good commitment. Have you got any tips for anyone on how to make a lasting commitment in the new year?
Yeah, look, I think the first thing that you need to look at is that some goals are short term, some are medium, some are long term, right? So it's absolutely fine for your short term goal to be like, I'm going to go to the gym, you know, every day for a week. That's feasibly doable. Say I'm going to do that for the rest of the year. That's probably less likely. So I think, you know, as always, it's kind of recognizing that, you know, to make a good behavioral health change, it's not about the extremes. It's about manageability, right? It's about recognizing there's short term, there's medium term, there's long term. And within that, there's this idea of action versus outcome. And I know we've touched on this before, but I'm such a big proponent on this because I think that's where, especially when it comes to weight loss, people let themselves down. And that's why I love the way that Slimming World approaches, you know, better eating, better health, because it's much more to do, you know, with action versus outcome. So, you know, we know that, you know, if I want to lose X amount of kilos or pounds, you know, that's the outcome. But actually, if I reward myself for the action of eating well, of moving, of going to my meetings, of talking about it, that's the stuff that will hold you instead in, you know, in good stead in January and March and all the way down to December, right? What won't hold you is kind of, you know, beating yourself up because you haven't hit the mark on this week and, oh my God, in 2 weeks, that kind of constant sort of self-evaluation in a punitive way, I think is potentially self-destructive. So I think if we want to have those long-term goals, you know, that begin in January and kind of go right through the year, I think number one, realistic goals. Number two, action versus outcome. And I think finally, and possibly really critically as well, is kind of a reassessment of those goals. Because anyone that's been on this journey knows, you might go from wanting to lose weight to wanting to maintain to actually just wanting to hang around because you love the community that you built and it helps your kind of mental health in other ways, right? So I think that reassessment of goals is key as well.
That kind of flexibility then is what we need. And I think that's what we've learned in lockdown as slimmers, is that we need to be a bit kinder and, you know, more flexible in our approach sometimes. Being too rigid is only going to lead you to feel rubbish, isn't it, at the end. So
yeah, so you said something to us, Linda, you know, our last episode was episode 76, and we called it Managing Your Mindset in Tempting Times. And you talked about this quote that we kind of have really, we've quoted so many times on episodes about scales are data, you know, be a scientist, feelings aren't facts, this challenge and distract. You know, can you just talk to us a little bit about the importance of being kind to yourself and kind of having this rounder, bigger picture of your mental health, your physical well-being, the whole kind of picture?
Absolutely. You know, we don't get healthier, lose weight, whatever, you know, because we decide we hate ourselves. We do it when we decide we love ourselves, when we care enough. So we need to reframe that. Even if the time that you decided I need a health change, when I saw that bad photograph of myself, or, you know, I couldn't walk up the stairs, it's actually your self-love. It's wanting to walk up the stairs and hug your little girl when you get through the door. It's wanting to look, you know, sexy as hell for, you know, for in that fabulous dress that you want to wear and feel wonderful for yourself and when you're dancing or whatever. So please, please, if you hear nothing else, hear that that's what's going to get you through. And as a consequence of that, and this is something I feel so passionately about, you can't say, I will love myself when, I will love myself if. These conditions of worth, they don't work when we do it in relationships, and they certainly don't do it when we work, you know, do it to ourselves. You love yourself, period. And you need to love yourself on your way to your journey. It's absolutely fine if you're not loving, you know, you'd like your thighs to look different or your boobs to look, that's fine, right? But you, critically you, the way that you've got, because you're more than your thighs or your boobs or how many stairs you can climb. You're way more than that. So if I can have that self-respect, that self-love on my way to the journey, then all of a sudden, when, you know, when I have that day when I've let myself down, I don't throw the whole day away and self-medicate and self-abuse with food. When I have that day when I've gotten the scales that didn't go well, I don't call myself a loser and I've done this terrible and everyone gains weight, you know, loses weight except for me. I'm like, I still like me. I'm good. I'm on a journey. And I think that's how we have to see it. And again, this idea of numbers, just being data, you know, I know, I'm always talking on about de-emotionalizing it. It's a number on a scale. It's not, you know, a number that, how valuable or lovable or whatever you are. Use it, keep it as, you know, for that data, but do not be judged by it. You know, really push back on that mentally.
How do we break that though? You know, I meet so many people that are in that trap. That number has an attachment to self-worth, and that's come from being very young. How do we, you know, one thing saying just use it as data. Have you got any tips on how we can step away from that emotional connection with it?
I think there's a few things we can do. I think first and foremost, you know, do a basic cognitive exercise where you kind of look at the people that you really love in your life and then ask yourself how much they weigh. Like a stupid question, right? Like, how ridiculous, who do you really admire? Like, you know, what did Nelson Mandela weigh before he passed away? What does, like, you know, like literally, I know, who are your heroes? How ridiculous is that? So that, you know, that's kind of a starting point in kind of sort of conceptualizing that it's arbitrary. Value and weight is literally the most arbitrary thing. I get that it's intertwined in our minds and we're socialized into it, but we need to push back on that. So begin by that. Secondly, in terms of what I love about myself, right, my self-esteem eggs, if I put all my self-esteem eggs in my, you know, kilo basket, right, and not in the basket of what I have to offer as a, I don't know, an accountant, a, you know, a podcaster, a doctor, a mother, an artist, for goodness sakes, you know, make sure your self-esteem eggs are spread out. And thirdly, make sure that when you look at that number, you look at it without fear, you look at it in the face. It's just a number. It is a bit of information that you need. So you look at it. If you feel those emotions rising up, that's where you stop and you say, feelings are not facts. I feel that I'm worthless. I feel that these are not facts. This is a number. And it's a number that goes up and down based on, frankly, so many things, from the time of the month, if you're a woman, to how much water you've drank, if you're, you know, a million and one things. This is the number that it is today. It's just allowing me some direction in my choices going forward, not in my choices about how I feel about myself, but in my behavioral choices. And the more you kind of, and I think this is what we need to do, you know, we've made that association in our brain, so it's been strengthened. We know enough about neuroplasticity now to know if you think something enough, that's how it gets stuck, right? But the great thing is we can rewire our brains with unthinking. So step on there and just look at it and say, this means nothing. You know, you'll have that emotional feeling when it comes up, but go through all the things that we've said. If you have to write this down, if you need to like slow down the podcast and write those sort of mantras down, write them down, say them, and eventually you'll see that that connection will be loosened and eventually it will be just a piece of information like any other.
God, I yeah. love that. Self-esteem eggs.
See, the thing, like, you know, you mentioned here about loving yourself. And we've been on this process too. We're at the point now where we are confident enough to share our journey, but that wasn't always the case. You know, in fact, next week we'll mark 3 years for this current journey. Is it three or maybe four? I can't
three.
Even
yeah.
three. But this is the fifth time that I've joined Slimming World, and this love yourself thing has been the crux of where I fell over before. How do you go about loving yourself if you've never loved yourself before? Where do you start?
God, that's a big question. I think the question I guess I would ask that is looking at what does loving oneself look like, right? What does it look like? Does it look like challenging yourself? Does it look like kindness to yourself? What, you know, sit down and ask yourself, if you can't answer that, think about someone you do love. Right? Think about how you treat your friend, your parent, your partner, your child. What do you do? I'm assuming that one of the things that you do is that you're aware of not hurting them, or at least not hurting them intentionally, like we all mess up. But you would never go out of your way to tell someone that you love that, God, I mean, I can't even say it. Like, you know, you're a loser, you're doing bad, you know. But yet, when we turn that inwards, it's just so easy. You need to treat yourself as you treat others. And I know it's, you know, people say that, but it is honestly one of the best sort of thought experiments you can do. Just pause and say, would I say this to anybody else? Look at what a loser you are. You didn't, you know, you gained, look at, you know, you'll never be able to do this. On what planet would you do that? You simply wouldn't. So that's the one thing. The second thing is developing a healthy sense of entitlement. So again, self-love comes with a sense of being able to say no, to say, I don't need to be perfect, to say, I don't want to do that, you know, to kind of go against sort of the grain sometimes, put your needs above the needs of others. So I've worked with a lot of people over the years who've had weight issues, and this need to kind of put others' needs before theirs has led them to kind of feel that they don't deserve that. Having that healthy sense of entitlement, it could be something as simple as someone gets, you know, your order wrong in a restaurant, saying, I'm so sorry, you know, I asked for that. You can be super polite and lovely, but it's almost the exercise of saying, I deserve to, you know, to get what I asked for. Not because I'm trying to make a huge point, but because that shows I care. You know, one of the exercises, again, I often do with people is to kind of imagine that within you is that little Claire, that little Anna, right, who is like 8 or 9 years old. Just imagine them at that age. And then imagine that everything you say, that kid hears, right? You know, in some ways, that those little parts of ourselves are there. I know we're sort of all grown up and supposed to have all this, but actually that a lot of that vulnerability, that need to be loved, that need to be accepted, that be part of a group, that's always there. And so we need to nurture that. And again, one of the amazing things that I love about the Slimming World program is this idea of groups doing that. Because sometimes when we can't love ourselves, having others hold up a mirror to what's lovable about us can be really profound.
Wow, I love that. Little Anna and Claire. But that kindness and that I'm worthy and I'm worth doing this for and I'm worthy of losing weight, I think reaffirming that to yourself is really important, isn't it?
So important.
This is a time of the year where sometimes, I mean, I know for me, New Year can be quite one of hope. I'm like, it's fresh start. New eyes, what will this year bring? There's some kind of excitement, maybe not for everyone right now, but there's a sense of, whew, okay, let's begin again, day one. But then there can come that moment where you can lose a sense of resilience, that you kind of, it maybe isn't going as fast as you want or hitting your expectations and you want to quit. So I've been there many times.
I've been there many times too.
What do you suggest when you kind of those thoughts start kind of coming in?
Yeah. You know, I think the first thing it's par for the course. It will happen to everyone. You know, it's not a coincidence that you've both been there. I mean, I wish there was a way we could get people raising their hands or listening to the podcast. Now, I guarantee you, you'd have a lot of hands raised.
Yeah.
It's par for the course because you don't have that momentum, right? When we start something new, we have the momentum. I bought the new gym kit. I mean, I'm rocking it. I've got the new recipe books. This is great. And then life sets in. And if I'm not seeing those amazing gains I saw in the beginning and sort of, you know, starts to dwindle away, I need to find a way to keep motivated. But this is where we kind of have to kind of have those mental hacks that work. So one of the things that we know that works really well is kind of taking stock, right? Look at how far I've come, right? So kind of, you know, this is the thing about ambition. I always think of like when we have sort of these ambitious goals, people always look at where they need to go. They don't look at how far they've come from. When you speak to ambitious people, they're like, I've done nothing with my life. You're like, well, you've written 15 books and you're like, I don't know, you've traveled to the moon. They're like, yeah, but not Mars. And I could have written like 200. And you're like, what are you talking about? And it's the same thing, I think, with weight loss, right? So you've had that initial thing where you've kind of done it and it's gone well, but now it's kind of stagnant. So you've forgotten. So I think a lovely thing to do is pause and kind of, you know, again, that be kind. Let me see where I was 6 months ago. Let me see what my behaviors were like. What was my self-talk like? What did I feel like when I looked in the mirror? Well, you know, how did I eat? How did I move? How has that changed? So I think that will often give you a proper boost. The second thing that I think is really important is speak to others that have been there. It's not a coincidence that everything from Alcoholics Anonymous to Slipping World to any kind of group like that, we've got reams of research. When people are on a journey for changing, whether it's, you know, compulsive eating or whether it's just sort of unhealthy eating, it has to do with being able to feel like other people have done this and been there as well. So being able to share that is fundamental. And I think thirdly, and I think this is a really important one as well, when you are deciding to motivate yourself, make sure you structure things in a way so that you have those little sort of rewards, right? So in the beginning, you know, the behavior was kind of rewarding in of itself because it started off and it was new. But right now, it may be that, you know, once I do X, then I'm going to give myself Y. So make it contingent about smaller things. And again, if I manage to do, you know, this until the end of the month, then I'm going to splurge and, I don't know, buy this or see that. So again, play around, because we, again, are creatures that very much respond to reward and punishment. We're no different to, you know, the vast majority of other sort of animals and like in the kingdom that well, right? We respond to these things. So kind of ensure you have those hacks ready.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because how many of us start like our journey, like, it's going to be fine, it's going to be perfect. That line is going to be absolutely straight.
Never
and
miss.
Then it becomes like, it's more like an A road than a motorway, isn't it?
But I think the thing you say is key, plan for the fact that it will go wonky, that you will have a lull in motivation, won't you? Because it's that quest for perfection that I think sees us trip up so much.
Because we've done episodes about gains, haven't we? And people are like, what? This is a weight loss podcast where you're talking about gains? Yeah. But
knowing that actually it's the rise from the fall that will make your journey, not the fall itself. And it's how you deal with it that's the key, I think.
That was deep, man. The rise from the fall.
But I think, do you know what? This is my 21st Slimming World birthday this year. And what I've learned is it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. It is that key of getting up and giving it one more shot that will get you there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And just think about what that speaks to in terms of your own resilience, right? Like, you know, we say these things, but actually, again, going back to the self-love, you know, you got up again and again. And every time you got up, you didn't get weaker, you got stronger. Why? Because you've learned, you've found a way to overcome, because it's really easy to give up. It's the easiest thing ever. You know, the fact that you're coming and doing this again and again is making you stronger. It's, you know, it's working those mental muscles. It's working even those behavioral muscles, if you want. And what we know is that probably you get back into it much easier, right? And I think that's the interesting thing. So we speak about this as well. I always find it fascinating that in terms of fitness, when people look at how well someone's heart does, they don't look at how tired they get. They look at how quickly they recover, right? After you run, how quickly your heart rate goes back to normal. I believe psychology is like that as well. I know that someone I'm working with is doing quite well, not when they avoid the anxiety, they avoid the slip-ups of overeating, but when it's happened that they're able to regroup and get back on their horse easier. So if you're doing that, you are making progress. So you need to redefine what progress means. Progress doesn't mean never failure. Progress means I keep going forward. And when I step back a couple of steps, I get back up a lot easier than I used to. That's what it means.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, it's a particular time of year, isn't it, where it's winter. There can be these like heightened emotions, particularly about what's happening in a global crisis. You know, this isn't necessarily something that we talk about politically on the podcast a lot, but the coronavirus is a real thing that's happening in the world today. And so many people are perhaps feeling a little bit more worried or a bit more anxious. They're dealing with these emotions more than they ever have before. A lack of control, I suppose, that what if question that hangs over us. I mean, is there any advice that you have for people who are just kind of perhaps they're just coping, but they're maybe on the pendulum of 1 minute I'm okay, and then maybe an hour later I'm not okay? How do you kind of bring a sense of peace at what is going on with the world today and not let it completely send you off tracks with something like a weight loss journey, a lifestyle transformation?
We need to be very aware of what we let into our consciousness. Like, I'm always going on about, how are you curating your consciousness? What are you reading? What are you watching? The reason for that is because you're spot on. You know, I could guarantee you, I could give you a mood score now, that I could give you a bunch of things to read, and I could direct your mood any way I wanted by making sure you watch and read the things that I give you. And I could bring it up or I could bring it down. Anybody can do that, right? Why? Because we are suggestible. And very sadly, this year, you have to actively look for good news, don't you? You need to go out of your way to find it. I would actually say one of the things that's fundamental is be aware of the media that you consume, because it won't just affect you in terms of, like you say, the politics or like what's going on with COVID. It'll affect you overall. I'm not saying don't be aware of the news, but don't, you know, make sure it's not the first thing you do. You wake up and you look at the phone and then you have that dip, or the last thing you do at night. Get your news, but beyond that, seek out stories of hope, right? Seek out, there's some wonderful websites out there, you know, that are aspirational for, you know, and they don't have to necessarily be about weight loss. They can just be about people trying to do better in the world, people moving forward. I think we definitely need that counterbalance. The second thing I would say is this idea of the pendulum. You need to remember that in the course of the day, people can't see me, I'm moving my hand up and down like a wave. your mood fluctuates like that. Again, it's dependent on everything from what hormones are going on, what you're listening to, what you're reading. So part of that is normal. It becomes problematic when you feel that it's having such an effect on you that you're not able to sleep well, eat well, motivate yourself. And it's precisely when that happens that you need to get the basics right. And I think that's the other thing that I feel really strongly about. I've been a psychologist for many years. You know, I love the journey that I take with people. It's such a privilege. One of the first things I always say to people when I see them is, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? How are you moving? Those are really, because we kind of think of ourselves as a pyramid. No matter what we're building on top, if you're not getting that right, there's going to be a problem. So make sure you're investing in those three things, that you're curating your consciousness, what you're reading, what you're watching, and then ultimately having realistic goals that you validate yourself for, and that'll become much easier.
Wow. Fantastic.
Can you teach my child to sleep? Sorted. I'm praying 2021, make me have a sleeping four-year-old. But I think, you know, it is really, I think sometimes, and as human beings in this kind of westernized society that consume so much, we expect perfection out of everything we do. And sometimes it's knowing we're at emotional overload, and there's no way we can be perfect at all these things all the time, can we? If we haven't got the basics nailed, you know, we've done a lot over sleep and, you know, exhaustion, and how that just makes you function really badly, doesn't it?
Mm.
Really does.
So badly. You know, back in the day, we used to think that if you were depressed, you couldn't sleep. But now we know that if you can't sleep, you're more likely to be depressed, right? We know that there's a causal element there, that it's not just, you know, an effect of it. So absolutely getting that right. And again, be on top of, you know, why that is. Are you ruminating on negative thoughts? You know, are you looking at tech very late at night? You know, is the whole kind of, are your circadian rhythms off for that? Are you eating the wrong foods late at night? Like, what are you doing? So kind of cracking that in and of itself is huge. And just being able to wake up and face the day in a healthier way.
Mm. I mean, like, What are you looking forward to in 2021? Do you actually set New Year's resolutions, or are you one of these people that's all about, you know, general directions rather than clear thought out, must do this in this year?
Do you know what? So I've got a big year this year because my little girl, who's now 18, is going off to university. So she's my only child. So I'm just thinking, how can I stalk her wherever she goes without her seeing me? So my New Year's resolution is like one of those hats and, like, you know, I don't know, a trench coat and hiding in bush. No, I don't know. So I think for me, again, it's a new life stage, right? It's a fascinating one. So, and I think, kind of, you know, identity is an interesting thing, right? Because obviously we go through these different stages. I think with slimming, it's a big one, you know, and we spoke about this in the past as well, but it's like letting go of the identity when I lose the weight, who am I? Or when I'm no longer the mom that does the school run, who am I? So I think identity, oh, we have to do another one of these on identity. We can talk about identity for ages. But I think for me, it's kind of looking at my New Year's resolution would be kind of, all right, so which part of, you know, how does that identity, it won't change, but how does it shift? How do I make it more interesting? How do I kind of continue to grow, even though this part of me perhaps will be less needed or less, you know, involved? Or at least I'm going to try and be less involved. I'm not sure I'm going to pass.
It's such a hard one, isn't it? Letting go and being, letting them grow up. It's tough. New you.
Finding comfort in your new set of clothes, I suppose. Yeah. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Because you know, we hear from amazing members who have lost so much weight. You know, they've lost like their another body kind of weight. And people will walk past them in the street. I remember I went back to a department that I hadn't worked in for about 7 months. And two colleagues walked past me and were really rude to me. And I was like, whoa, what was that about? Have I done something to upset you? And they went, oh my God, are you? But there's a sense, isn't there, sometimes with these, and I'm really excited for people who are listening to this who are on day one and they're thinking, right, let's get on this, because there'll also be people who are listening thinking, wow, look at where I was 2 or 3 years ago when this was my New Year's resolution, where I was 3 years ago. Look what you potentially can become. But your head takes a while to catch up in that new identity, I suppose, as you say.
Yeah, it does. And I think you need to approach it with excitement as well as trepidation, right? So I think that's the thing, because again, there's always two sides to a coin, and then there's a fear, because I guess the whole notion of a new identity implies letting go of an old one. And we all know sort of with weight, whether it's being sort of like the big strong guy or like, oh, the funny big gal, or, you know, whatever it was, the mumsy kind of, okay, I you know, I may not have been completely happy with it, but there's parts that I really liked. How do I let go of that now? Am I allowed to be this other person? Are people going to like me? Am I going to like me as much? So it's about kind of, you know, I love your metaphor for clothes. I think it's about trying on the new coat, but possibly in the color you've always loved, right? So it's really retaining that part of you, right?
Yeah, what a clever idea.
I love it. I mean, oh. I implore anyone who's listened to go back and listen to episode 62, Mind Your Language, Not Just Your Waistline. We tap into a lot there, don't we, Linda, about forgiveness, letting go of guilt. And episode 76, if you're someone who is perhaps quite anxious and worried at the moment, that is a great one for managing your mindset in tempting times. There's some more resources. I love you. Every time you come on, Linda, I just have so many takeaways. And I end up, when I'm editing your episodes, listening to it more than I probably should. Yeah.
But you just, you speak so much sense. And I think that's what we need in a crazy world that this year has been, is a little bit of sense. It's good.
Indeed, indeed. Oh, guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I could speak to you guys for ages. So thank you.
We're going to do one on identity. We need that.
Yeah. And we look forward to next time we talk to you, hearing about what your new identity is and how it's going.
Has she been arrested for stalking behind a bush at university?
Yeah. Maybe just get a bug that you can slip into her bag.
Put them in her shoes. You could just like track her. She'd be fine.
See, that's why I love you guys. You get me.
We've done it. It's fine. Just with men, probably.
Well, thank you so much. And if this is something that has inspired you, then send us your emails, your messages. We are slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. You can tag us on your pictures. Come follow us, Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast. Share with us what your hopes and dreams are for 2021, because we know when you put pen to paper, when you make this commitment, that these things start to happen. Just take your little chihuahua steps, as my mom calls them.
Yeah, bless her.
Dinosaurs, don't be doing dinosaur steps. They're extinct, but chihuahua steps, they're still around. Yeah. Have a great New Year's Eve or Happy New Year if you're listening to this the other side. And we will be here for you every Monday, lockdown, no lockdown. There is a whole back catalogue for you to disappear into. And we look forward to having you follow and subscribe with us on this journey. Go enjoy your food.
Bye for now.